بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 14th of January in the year 2022 Alhamdulillah I spent the session last night in which we're now discussing the fathomless subject of character And I mentioned last night the importance of sincerity and the controlling of one's tongue. So alas, how many have we thus hurt with this small piece of flesh, i.e. the tongue? Have we not heard our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to one and all, the one who inflicted pain on a Muslim has then in reality inflicted pain on me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one who has inflicted pain on me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has then inflicted pain on Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. thus provoking his wrath. This is in Tabrani, in his Awsat, number 3607, or volume 2, page 386. So here the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he linked every Muslim to himself. Because whoever inflicts pain on a Muslim, i.e. without a Sharia reason, then in reality, you have inflicted pain on me. So imagine if you say to a Muslim brother and sister, would you ever hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They'd be horrified. What are you talking about? You said, never do it. Because you're doing it every day. Inflicting pain on a Muslim is inflicting pain on me. And the one who has inflicted pain on me has inflicted pain on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, our beloved Messenger clarified further, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, whoever harms others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will harm him. Similarly, whoever makes things difficult for others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things difficult for him. This is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hakim in his Mustadrak, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullahi alayhi authenticates it in Sahih al-Jami, number 6348. So two things are mentioned here. Harming, and the second is making things difficult. So harming is obvious when you harm a person. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala will now harm you. And if you make things difficult for others, meaning instead of benefiting, making things easy, you get joy, i.e. causing problems for others. And a lot of brothers and sisters cause destruction with their tongues, making things difficult. Then Allah Ta'ala will make things difficult for him. Now think about that. By harming others, this is an act of lunacy. For in reality, you are only harming yourself. So if somebody says in Islam, who would you describe as a lunatic? You would say the one who harms others. Because why would you call him a lunatic? Because he's harming himself. The Prophet was telling you that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us as we deal with others. Because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who does not show mercy, then no mercy will be shown to him. And he who does not forgive, will then not be forgiven. Recorded in Ahmad Tabarani in his Kabir, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih al-Jan, number 6599 to 6600. So note, this is one of the ways that Allah Ta'ala deals with the creation. If you show mercy to others, Allah Ta'ala will show mercy to you. If you don't show mercy, then no mercy will be shown to you. Again, lunacy. And if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So you ask a person, would you love to be forgiven on the day of judgment? Answer, of course, 100%. Then you should be in a state where you forgive others. Because how is that linked? Because the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who does not forgive will not be forgiven. Thus note again, it is an act of lunacy not to show mercy and to forgive others. For then in reality, one will then not be shown mercy or forgiven. This really should not come as a surprise, because our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the worst type of usury is to unlawfully get involved in the honor of a Muslim. Astaghfirullah. The worst type of usury is to unlawfully get involved in the honor of a Muslim. This is in Abu Dawud, number 4876 or 4-353. So what is usury? Usury is riba, which is one of the ways you go to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the worst type of riba is to get involved in the honor of a Muslim. So what do you expect Allah ta'ala is going to do? Clarifying further, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are 72 degrees of usury, the least of which is equivalent to committing adultery with your own mother. Whilst the worst of them is a man's insulting his brother's honor. Astaghfirullah. This is in Tabarani in his Awsat, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih li ghayri, in his As-Sahihah, number 1871. So it doesn't matter what you think. So for instance, if somebody says to you, I know a person who has committed zina with his mother, you'd be horrified. And somebody says, I know somebody who's committed a sin equivalent to that. He hasn't committed that sin, but he's committed a sin equivalent to it. You think, whatever it is, brother, it's horrific. But what has he done? He's got involved in the least type of riba. So what is that? What is the least type? Your guess is as good as mine. That is equivalent to committing zina with your mother. The worst type of riba, the Prophet ﷺ said, is a man's insulting his brother's honor. So again, will we put it into that category? No, because we've got our own standards. But it's not what your standard is. It's what Allah Ta'ala puts. It is surprising to note that many Muslims are frightened to death of usury, and rightly so, yet give little or no importance to the honor of their brothers and sisters. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a complaint. So think about it. If I was to say to you, would you like to live in a mortgaged house, but your tongue is free from the honor of Muslims? Or would you love to live in a house which you've bought and is no usually involved at all, but your tongue is loose with the honor of the Muslims? How many would say the first? I'd rather live in a mortgaged house if my tongue's under control. And the reason is you haven't got knowledge. You think that this is a small thing. And what's shocking is you understand the other usually. Everybody knows that. You know, you go, oh brother, keep away from riba. You see the way they react. They start doing this with their hands. And you're thinking, brother, mashallah, you're doing this. You're waving to me. What about the honor of your Muslim brother? He goes, what's that going to do with anything? He goes, that's the worst type of riba. So go back to the first statement. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Whoever inflicts pain on a Muslim, he's inflicted pain on me. You're going to war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're inflicting harm on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another disaster of the loose control of the tongue. So what am I discussing? The tongue. Think about it. What makes you fall into the category of the worst usually? The tongue. Another disaster of the loose control of the tongue is it leads to outbursts of anger. In Abu Dawud, number 4777, Tirmidhi, number 2021, Mishkat and Uds, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan in Sahih Al-Jami, number 6518, Anas, Mu'ad ibn Anas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever controls his anger in a situation where he is able to express it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him in front of the entire creation on the day of judgment. And he will have a choice to choose whichever huri of paradise he wants. So this is a famous report. But you guessed it, misquote. So you ask a person, brother, what's that report about controlling your anger? Oh yes, brother, yes. If you control your anger, you can choose a huri on the day of judgment. Misquote. And he goes, what? You've left out a key element of the hadith. So which part of the narration is missing? People fail to mention a part of this report, and without that part, you're not entitled to the virtue. And the part which is missed out is clarified in Tuhfa al Al-Ma'i 5-354. So the Shaykh said, perhaps the reward mentioned in this hadith being specific for males indicate it is men, not women, who usually exceed boundaries in a fit of rage. Women can't have huris. So why is Allah Ta'ala talking through the lips of His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talking about men and anger? So why are men getting huris? Because usually they're the ones who overstep the mark in their rage. Then the Shaykh said, secondly, the reward is only for a scenario wherein one controls his anger despite having the ability to unleash it. For example, a husband towards his wife or a father towards his children. Thus, as a general rule, those who are weaker and have less strength or authority than you. This is the condition. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Whoever controls his anger in a situation where he is able to express it, bole bale, misquoting the hadith. That means you now got the power to express your anger. So when does that happen? Usually when somebody is subordinate to you. So you get angry with your wife, now you can unleash. Now you're entitled to the reward. Control yourself. Children, those working under you. Then the Shaykh said, there are often situations when a person is angry at another, but due to the rank of the other person or fear of reprisal, he cannot express his anger. The reward mentioned in this hadith is only for the former, not the latter. So for instance, you know, give you a few crazy scenarios. Mike Tyson makes you angry. So you control your anger. You entitled to this reward. Well, brother, mashallah, no brother, if I flip, he'll knock me out. So, what's that entitled to? The Prophet put a condition where he is able to express it. And how many times have people called this report? Brother, control your anger. And he goes, brother, I'm not entitled to the reward anyway. Why? Because I can't get angry here, because anger will put me even in a worse situation. Right? Because this person's got clout, strength, backup, you know, you name it. It's not that scenario. So note commentary of the hadith. Without commentary, you can come out with whatever you think you know. Our beloved messenger similarly said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever suppresses his anger at the time when he could express it openly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill his heart with contentment on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. This is in Tabarani in his Kabir, 12-453. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi authenticates it in Sahih al-Jami, number 176. So this is another virtue. So one virtue, you've controlled your anger, though you have the power to express it, and you'll be given a choice of a huri, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. Here, another promise, you will be filled with contentment on the Day of Judgment. You'll be happy. Ultimately, the great glad tidings from our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, restrain your anger and paradise will be yours. Restrain your anger and paradise will be yours. This is in Tabarani. And Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Al-Jami, number 7374. So note, if you control your anger in a situation where you can express it, it's more virtuous than in a situation you can't express it. But either way, you'll still get a reward from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consider Anas radiallahu anhu's blessed words. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam neither abused, nor cursed, nor was ill-tempered. When he rebuked, when he was angered, he would simply say, what is the matter with him? May his forehead get soiled. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 3, page 136. So let's look at this. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas his servant, radiallahu anhu, he said, he neither abused, nor cursed, nor was ill-tempered. But when he did get angry, all he would say was words like this, what is the matter with him? May his forehead get soiled. Thus note, no foul words, no striking out, are sadly only too common seen in today's day and age. Did the Prophet use foul words? No. Did Did he strike out? No. All he said was, may his forehead get soiled, meaning let him pray. May he do more sujood. Consider Sheikh Abu Talib Muhammad ibn Abi Maqi, rahmatullah alayhi's words. Mostly, people will be thrown into hell due to the sins of others, not due to their own sins, which will be transferred into their account, i.e. due to their violating the rights of others. Similarly, a great number of people will enter paradise, not due to their own good deeds, but upon receiving the good deeds of others. Recorded in his work, Qut ul-Qulub, volume 2, page 292. So look how amazing the situation. You're going to see people, inshallah, in paradise, and they've entered paradise through somebody else's good deeds. Think about that. Hey, you never did jihad. Yeah, but so-and-so did so-and-so, and he did, and I got his reward. I'm in paradise. That's a strange scenario. Another person in hell. Because why are you in hell? Because of zina. Serial zina. But I never committed zina. So why are you in hell? Due to zina then. Somebody else's zina was placed on me. So what was Sheikh Abu Talib Muhammad ibn Abi Ali Maqi saying? Mostly, people will be thrown into hell due to the sins of others. What sort of a ludicrous situation is that? And mostly, a great number of people enter paradise upon receiving the goods of others. Subhanallah, what a strange but most awesome day that will be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from humiliation. Ameen. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked in a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, who is a pauper amongst you? So the Sahaba goes, the one who hasn't got any wealth, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, no, he's not the real pauper. The real pauper is the one, and then he mentioned, he takes the rights of others. You know, he insults somebody, and he mentions certain sins, and he goes, because of that, he will come with mountains of deeds on the Day of Judgment. But because of what he's done, all of those mountains of deeds will be passed on to others. And he will end up with their sins, because he is the true pauper. So what failing was the Prophet warning you about in this hadith? He was warning you of a trick of shaitan, that you focus upon your deeds, but you don't focus upon protecting them. People just do their deeds now, you know, yeah, I'll do deeds. He starts backbiting. Right? Does his deeds, rips somebody off. And then you think, your example is like a person who's got his money, put it into a pocket with a hole in it. Why don't you fix the hole? But people, again, the Prophet said it's going to happen. Because they are the true purpose, meaning they work so hard. But who's benefited? Others. Astaghfirullah. In continuation, leaving aside its numerous virtues, but showing compassion to the weak has a very positive impact on the heart. In Ahmad in his Musnad, number 9028, or volume 3, page 335, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, a man once complained about the hardness of his heart. Rasulullah thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stroke the head of an orphan and feed the destitute. So look how interesting. Hardness of the heart is an illness, a very serious illness. It means that you're not moved. And the revelation you feel is not having an impact. So the Sahaba addressed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him two deeds. Stroke the head of an orphan and feed the destitute. So what does that fall under? Compassion to the weak. It has an impact, an immense impact upon the heart. Now with regards to the stroking of the orphan's head, there's a report. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 9028, or volume 1, page 351, our beloved messenger very interestingly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a boy is an orphan, then stroke his head, bringing the hand to the front. And if the father of the child is alive, stroke his head, bringing the hand towards his neck. So, this is a command. So if you want to apply this blessed sunnah, if the child is an orphan, you stroke the head starting from the neck all the way to the front. If the child has a father, It's the opposite. You scroll from the front to the neck. So what is a way that you could remember this? A way to remember this is that in English, the word orphan ends with the letter N. Thus start the stroking of the orphan's head from the back of the neck first. So this is where we get confused. Which one is it? So the orphan, what's the last letter in the English word orphan? N. Neck. So for an orphan, you start from the neck. And the opposite is true. In addition, therefore it is a sunnah not just to affectionately stroke the orphan's head, but any sinless child. Subhanallah. So now question. So it's a sunnah, definitely, whether he's an orphan or not. But does it have the same impact upon the hardness of the heart? So some scholars say it's only the orphan, because the Prophet said an orphan. Other ulama said, well, the orphan is mentioned, but any child is sinless, so surely that will have an impact. Whatever the case, you will get the reward of the sunnah, and it will have an impact. So note, when you show affection to others, it has a very positive impact on your heart. Serving others is also a priceless deed, especially when journeying. In Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 8407, or volume 6, page 334, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one serving his companions the most in a journey is the Amir. And his companions can never outdo him in any deed. However, if any one of them becomes a martyr, he will outdo. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So here in this blessed report, you're on a journey. And who is the Amir? Now it doesn't matter who you call the Amir. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who serves his companions the most in a journey, he's the Amir. So this is again from the Shariat. And then the Prophet says something amazing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can never meet him, no matter what deed you do. Except if you get martyred. So let's put this into a nutshell. Consider what good deeds one can perform whilst on a journey. Salah, fasting, recital of the Quran, dhikr, contemplation, etc. But subhanallah, despite all this, the one who serves his brothers the most can still never be beaten in virtue, except he who falls as a martyr. Allahu Akbar. And this is how you find out who the Amirs are. Go on a journey and just observe. He's the Amir. He goes, no, we appointed him, because you can appoint who you want. He's the Amir. Because why is he the Amir? Because he's doing everything for us. Now, then you get them people doing their tawafs, and you carry on to the, you can't beat him. Why can't I beat him? Because he's serving you. Those who serve get the ultimate rewards. There's only one way to beat him. Get martyred. Somebody goes, now think about that. A person, for example, let's put it practically, you go on Umrah in a group. Let's say 10 of you go on a group to Umrah. Somebody does so many tawaf, you're blown away. Tawafs galore. He sits in the chamber of the Prophet in Masjid al-Nabi, Durood Sharif till the cows come home. And then you think, and you come back complaining, think, you knocked this for the six, brother. And somebody goes, no, he hasn't. And he goes, well, who? He was the one who was the most active. He goes, no, he wasn't. And that, look how strange it is. We don't even understand. There's somebody greater than him. Who? And you point to another person. He's the Amir. Nobody can beat him. Why? Because he's always doing things for you. Who sorted the hotel out? Who sorted the transport out? Who sorted this out? Who did this? Who got the food? You know, all this and that. People don't even realize that these people are the Amirs. And the Prophet called him an Amir. Think about that. So you can actually call that person an Amir. It's not like putting false praise into him. Because Rasulullah called you an Amir. But at the same time, what do you then start thinking? Hang on a minute. Nobody tells us anything. Right? So think about that. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was highlighting serving others is an immense deed. But don't forget, the martyr supersedes him. You cannot beat the martyr. Why should we not find this strange? Because there's a hadith. In Tirmidhi is Hassan, Hakim Sahih, Ibn Hibban Sahih, Ibn Khuzaymah Sahih, Targhib number 2667. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best companion in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight is the better of them to his companion. Subhanallah. The best companion in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight is the better of them to his companion. Sahih hadith. So, two people. Who serves the other the most? He's better, the Prophet said. He didn't say, look at his other worship, because he's better. Meaning it's a competition. Why do you think the Sahaba competed over this? Even Rasulullah, when they were on a journey once, and then some of the Sahaba goes, we'll cut the firewood. So they say, we will do this. And then the Prophet said, I'm going to do something. And he goes, no, Ya Rasulullah, because you can relax. He goes, no. He says, I'm not weaker than you, and I need the reward just as much as you. Even the Prophet, why? He goes, no. And when he was going to Badr, when Ali radiallahu, and Abu Lubaba, they were sharing the camel with the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please. He goes, you take, you know, camel will walk. He said the same words in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, authentic. You're not stronger than me. And I need the reward just as much. Why? Because this is part of the greatness that a person helps and serves others. So note again, it's not what you think. People have got their own versions of Islam. No, I still think he's better. Well, you can think what you want. Consider also that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad number 7929, whoever is there to help his brother in time of need, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him in his time of need. Whoever is there to help his brother in time of need, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him in his time of need. This is the problem. When you find yourself in need and no help comes, who have you got to blame? Think about it. It's yourself. What's happening here? And you even get people like this. He said, when this person has, when he falls, I've noticed something about this person. When he falls into a problem, everybody comes to his assistance. And I've noticed something about another person. If he falls into a problem, nobody comes to his assistance. Why is that? And then you say, Rasulullah said, whoever is there to help his brother in time of need, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him in his time of need. What did I mention about da'wat? The Prophet Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, if you want Allah Ta'ala to show you great favor, then assist his deen. He help his deen. So note the same principle is mentioned there. Those leaving aside the endless virtues which I've mentioned of this priceless deed, it also divinely assures the solution to our many own personal needs during this short earthly sojourn. Think about that. People so focused upon the virtues. There's something else here, brother. That's not a virtue. That's divine help. Because what? That's worthy of mentioning. Yeah, that's something else. You got the virtue, but don't forget the help. Allah Ta'ala is going to help you. And that's why the saying, a friend in need, is a friend indeed. But I don't think that's a hadith. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, talking about the subject of character. And not endless subject. And again, if you really focus upon what the Prophet is telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you realize why we're in such a mess. Because he warned you not to do things which will lead to certain states, and we're in that state. And what we're supposed to be doing, we're not doing. And what we're not supposed to be doing, we're doing. And character highlights this to a great degree. You know, subhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربي رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم